right, thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible this morning to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 4, if you would. Mark chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 21. The Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verse 21, if you do have your Bible. If you don't, I hope you'll just trust me, okay? If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page 1050, all right? Old Scofield Bible, all right? And Mark chapter 4. The Bible says there in verse 21, "And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? There's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath." Now, the Gospel of Mark here in this fourth chapter has recorded for us four parables that the Lord Jesus Christ used to teach truth to his disciples, all right? Now, this is the second of those four. We were in the last one last week, or the first one, excuse me, last week, and we talked about the parable of the sower and the seed, and this is the second one, and it's related to the first one, all right? It really meshes with the message of that first parable, and it gives us more instruction and more direction along that same line. I've got my notes here. The placement of this parable is no accident. Nothing is in the Word of God accidentally, okay? Nothing is in there that way. And God puts it here because this parable expands on the parable of the sower. Normally, when we read this, you know, as a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not on a candlestick, all right? And we think about the other teaching in the Word of God from which we get the chorus, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Great chorus, by the way, all right? But in that teaching, that light refers to our testimony, that we are to shine for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to help spread the light of the Word of God. Truthfully, this parable is not exactly that. So we'll look at it this morning, if you'll stay with me, all right? First of all, I want you to think about the purpose for a candle. Now, I ask that to a 21st century audience, and we get a lot of answers. Because we've gone crazy with candles. They're used in our day for just decoration. Decoration. I can remember many banquets that I've gone to, and there were candles there, and they weren't even lit at any point. They were just there for decoration. But in our day, undoubtedly, we have got into a serious situation in homes where there is a dreadful smell because candles are advertised so you can conquer the terrible odor in your home, all right? And I mean, there's every fragrance that you can imagine out there, all right? Just every kind you can imagine. And, you know, we sell candles, and I've walked into my house before and thought, what is that smell? And my wife said, oh, it's this new candle I've got. There's been a time or two where I've thought, I'd rather have the normal smell than that smell, all right? But some of them, I confess to you, I really do like, you know. But, I mean, that they're used for a lot of things. But in the Bible times, if we're talking about a candle wasn't there for decoration. It wasn't there to add a new aroma to your house. Hey, it was there to give light. It was there for the purpose of dispelling the darkness. That was the idea. In the Christian realm, all right, in the Christian realm, it is the Word of God that gives light for our path, and gives direction for our steps. The Bible tells us over in Psalm 119, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in that first parable in Mark chapter 4, the sower went out to sow and he sowed that seed. That seed was the word of God. The word of God in this parable is pictured as the light of that candle. All right? The light of that candle. But there is a problem, okay? And the problem comes up, you know, hey, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Well, the very question, you know, we'd automatically think, well, of course not. Of course not. It's not there. Nobody lights a candle and then says, don't let anybody see the light. That would, you know, we don't do that. We don't light them and then hide it so the light doesn't come out. Well, hey, the truth of the matter is, in that first parable, the seed and the sower, that seed fell on different kinds of ground, all right? The picture there was, hey, you can't hide how you react to the Word of God. You cannot hide. If it falls by the wayside, sometimes it's come and the birds swoop in and snatch it away and it never grows. It falls on stony ground and and it springs up, but it can't really take root and it doesn't last. And we go on and on, all right? But here we see the situation. We've got a candle, we've got it lit, but do you put it under a bushel? A bushel is a basket. It is a mark of measure. When I was a kid, a bushel basket, I had an understanding of it because we would take that bushel basket into the field with my dad, and he would look at my brother and me and say, y'all fill that basket up with peas as you pick them. And he could fill up his basket, and us two couldn't fill our basket as quick as he could fill his basket. Because he had more experience, all right? But we fill that bushel basket up. That bushel basket speaks of, it speaks, if you will, of progress and commerce and business. People understood you. You would fill that bushel basket up and you would take and sell your wares in that basket. Well, that bushel basket represents that. But I want you to think of it this way with us. We're talking about something that prevents the light from shining. Prevents the light from shining. What is it that keeps the light of God and His Word from shining in your life? We look and say, well, that bushel, what's that bushel got to do with it? Well, if it represents business and commerce, you boil it down to materialism. And folks, I'll tell you, we've got a problem with that in our day. We've got a problem with that in our day. The great driving desire for things and stuff can often put out or at least dim the light from the Word of God as it works to change the life of a believer. That word doesn't get to us as it would because we're too materialistically minded. We're trying to figure out if I do that, how much more money is that going to put in my pocket? Well, it may not put another dime in your pocket. But it's what it'll do for your soul. It's what it will do for your life. For what it will do for the heart of that one who takes that word of God and allows that light to come in from the Bible. Hey, we prevent it there. Hey, we wouldn't hide a candle under a bushel, but we allow materialism to creep in and to cause us to ignore the truth of the Word of God. We allow that to happen. Then the Bible talks about, hey, you put it under a bed. A bed, that's a piece of furniture. But it's a particular piece of furniture. What is it that we do on a bed? Well, we stretch out. We sleep. We take it easy, all right? Hey, I look at that bed and I think, man, we're constantly confronted with opportunities and a temptation, if you will, for pleasure in our day. For leisure. Just taking it easy. Maybe even slothfulness, being lazy. You know, we spend too much time there. I'm amazed at people that tell me they can't get up in time on Sunday morning to get to Sunday school. Yet they work a job and they're on the job at 5:30, 6, 7, 8 o'clock, or at least by 9 o'clock, even the bank's open, okay? But I can't make it to church on Sunday. Now, I'll tell you, be honest with you, I think that's slothfulness. I think it's lazy, okay? That prevents us from doing that. But we live in a day of leisure. Now, we all look at one another and moan the fact of how expensive everything is. But we've got enough money to take weekend trips. Well, there's entertainment that is available. Amazes me. I listen a lot to WBAP on the radio. And I, especially in the morning, early. And I like that early morning show. And they have a guy that comes on once every week, and he talks about entertainment that is available in the DFW area. And he talks about the availability of tickets and the price of those tickets. And it amazes me that people will shell out the amount of money they do to hear somebody sing a song, or to see some kind of entertainment, or even to go to a football game. There's nonstop sports available. Nonstop. Now, you're looking at a preacher who is too cheap to hook up to any kind of cable. Plus, I look at it as a waste of money. And I used to have cable, and I got to the realization in life. I said, man, I'm spending this money every month, and half the time at least I can't find anything I want to watch. So I'm quitting. I cut that thing off. But I'm amazed at what's still available to me, who is too cheap. All right? Man, you say, well, how do you get it? Well, it's through the internet, you know? Yesterday I was amazed at how many college football games I could watch on YouTube. I was amazed. You know, you said, well, how many did you watch? Well, technically, I only watched a piece of some, of two or three, but I didn't watch a whole game of any of it. I had other things to do. But I was amazed at what was there. Amazed at what I could come across and what I could find. Hey, entertainment's available. Hey, but some of that detracts away from us taking the light of the Word of God. We allow those things. Hey, we wouldn't hide a candle under the bed, but we'll be lazy about applying the truth of this book in our life. We're not steadfast. We don't take the truth and apply it. You see, there comes in this matter of our perception, if you will. Look at verse 21 there in our text, all right? Verse 22 there, okay? It's amazing. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Hey, we're talking about the Word of God. It is amazing how much the Word of God can illuminate and enlighten and reveal to us about life right now. I'm amazed. People say, oh, that old book, that's 2,000 years old. It's outdated. Boy, you ain't read it, have you? Boy, it nails today. It reveals things to us. Let me invite, don't lose your place here, but let me invite your attention over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, would you? Hebrews chapter 4. There's a verse there I want to read, and when you hear it, you're going to think, man, I've heard that before. Well, good. It's a real good verse to get a hold of you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible said, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. But wait a minute. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is amazing how much reading, studying, and getting preaching and teaching from the Word of God can illuminate things. That's one thing that makes folks not like the Word of God. It makes people not like the Word of God. You say, why? Because when the Bible is preached, it reveals the sin of man. And it puts it out there where you see the sordidness and the evil of that sin. See, we have a tendency to look at sin and view it as a minor problem. Especially our sin. Now that fellow who sits on the other side of the auditorium from you, his sin is different. His is wicked and vile and evil. Mine's just a minor problem. Just a minor thing. Hey, but the truth of the matter is, when we get into the Word of God and the Word of God is preached, it's like putting a light on you. Man, it's like putting a light. When we first moved to Texas, we lived over at 4036 Oscar Avenue. And there was a drainage ditch that ran down behind the house. And we live right next to Terminal Baptist Church, which is what this church used to be, Terminal. We moved here and changed the name. And my dad was a pastor. And I can remember at night, like I say, when we first moved there, I can remember at night, we would hear a helicopter flying. And I didn't think anything of it until all of a sudden, man, I'm in the house, but I could tell it looked like somebody flipped on a light outside. Man, I remember the first time that happened and went out and looked, and that helicopter was shining a searchlight down out of that thing. And we found out it was a police helicopter, and they were looking for my brother. Okay, it wasn't really looking for him, but it was the police helicopter, all right? And, they were looking for somebody, and that drainage ditch must have been a popular place because they would run down that ditch. But, man, that light exposed everything. Hey, that's what the preaching of the Bible does. The preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, hey, it exposes our sin. And there are times when it's preached, we want to do this. Now, you don't do that because it really makes you stand out in church, okay? But it makes us want to do that. Why? Because that word that's preached illuminates everything, all right? There is truly nothing hid which shall not be manifested. That book, man, you preach it, it brings it to light. It brings to light those things that people thought were hidden. It causes some people to come to the preacher after the service and say, "Preacher, who told you?" Hey, now you don't think I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding. That's happened. Who told you what I did? Well, you just did. You see, the preaching of the Word of God exposes, it brings out that which people think they have hidden. That's why some people begin to squirm and sweat during a strong message against sin. Seeing people begin to turn red in the face. Why? The preaching of the Word of God. Hey, that's also why sometimes it gets real quiet in church. Man, it gets quiet. Hey, why? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God bringing to light the hidden things of the heart. The Bible said, hey, we don't take that candle and put it under a bushel. We don't hide it under a bed. It's there to reveal. It is there. The light of the Word of God is to open things up and reveal it. But I want you to notice the precaution that God gives us about this light. Verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Hey, we're to listen, first of all. We're to listen. There's danger in ignoring or refusing or missing the truth. Terrible danger. But I'll be honest with you, man. Folks come often and they sit in church and miss the truth. Miss the truth. They were here, but they missed it. Missed the truth. How sad. Some people refuse that truth. Don't want anything to do with it. I don't want the truth, and I don't want to hear it. And it kind of upsets them, maybe even gets them mad when it's preached. Why? They refuse that truth. That's why some folks won't come to church. They won't come to church. No, I'm not going to come to church. Why? Because you're going to preach. You're going to preach. If you weren't going to preach that book, I'd come. But I refuse that truth. Some people just ignore it. They just ignore the truth. You know, you can stick up warning signs everywhere, and there's somebody that'll ignore the sign. Somebody that'll ignore the sign. There is within us. There is within us something that causes us to ignore warning. It causes us to ignore warning. You've seen a warning, maybe a sign of a very sharp curve, and there'll be a picture there even of a truck that's turning, tilting over. You've seen those signs? Sure enough, you go to that place and there's a truck laying on its side. Why? Because somebody ignored the sign. Somebody ignored the sign. Hey, why you got a bandage on your finger? Well, I burned it. How'd you burn it? Well, I touched something that was hot. Would anybody warn you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can sit with your kids, set a hot pot on the table and say, hot, don't touch, don't touch. Turn your back and the little rascal will touch it. Well, they'll learn the hard way, all right. But wait a minute, we jump on them, but we're just like them. We'll do the same thing. God warns us, we ignore what he says. The Bible says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You need to listen, okay? You need to listen up. Look at Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. You see, here's the danger. Acts chapter 28. I know it's in my Bible. There it is. Acts 28, verse 27. The Bible said, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You said, who would pass it up? Plenty of people do. I dare say most of you rejected the gospel the first time you heard it. First time you heard the preaching of the gospel and realized I'm a sinner, I deserve hell, God's paid the price, but I have to come to him. But we didn't come that first time. We didn't come. Hey, listen, there's a danger in not listening. But there's also a danger. The Bible said, take heed what you hear. There's a precaution about what you listen to. Don't get sucked into man's tradition. Don't get sucked into private interpretation. The problem in our day, we've got the internet. Every nutcase in the world can get on the internet and present their case and act like they're intelligent. And man, you talk about private interpretation of the Word of God. It is out there, all right? It is out there. Hey, there's that preaching of what is known today as the prosperity gospel. That God wants everyone that's a believer, all of his children, to be healthy and wealthy. And if you're not, there's something wrong with you. That is a lie. That is heretical teaching from the Word of God. I don't understand how Paul missed that. I don't understand how he missed it. Man, I thought he was a tremendous Christian. But boy, did he have troubles. He was never a wealthy man. Hey, he was a missionary, but he also was a tent maker to help pay the expense. He missed the prosperity gospel somehow. He was also a man that had health issues. You listen to some jaybird like that, mostly what they want to do is you to pad their pocket, okay? This crowd that comes up with extra biblical revelation. God gave me a vision. I want you to know I've dreamed some dreams too. But I've never dreamed one that I felt like I need to get up here and preach to you. God showed me something in a dream. Never. Most of my dreams, he showed me, run, run. Somebody was after me. And I've spent so many nights running, that's why I wake up tired, all right? Don't you go for that kind of stuff. You watch out. There is a great deal of heresy in this old world. You check out what you hear with the Word of God. But how do I know what's right? You measure it against this book. If it doesn't line up, pitch it. Pitch it. Don't go for it. But wait a minute. I want you to go there. Here you say, well, preacher, why is it so important that we let the light of the Word of God in our lives? Here it is. I want you to look at verse 24. I read that just part of it. He said unto them, take heed what you hear. But notice what it says after that. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Preacher, that's not fair. Oh, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The fairness comes into the whole tale, okay? The whole story there. With what measure ye meet. Make sure that you listen. Make sure that you listen with faith and obedience. I want to read you James chapter 1. In verse 22. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And then that next verse, for he that hath to him shall be given. Unto you that hear, verse 24, shall more be given. You want to have, you want to get it, you enjoy the light, then pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. Act on the light that you have. Take that light, put it into practice in your life. Preacher, I come to church and it doesn't do me any good. Nothing's changing at my house. Well, what have you put into practice? What have you taken from the Word of God and put into practice in your life? What have you done with it? Well, I've heard it. I listened to it. Yeah, you're like me. I've got a rowing machine in my bedroom. Thing hasn't helped my health. I mean, there's just no benefit in that thing. Well, there's some. It's a good place to drape some clothes and drop some other stuff. You say, preacher, you nut, you got to get on it. Do what? I had a Nautilus cross-skiing machine. You know what it is? like to knock myself out on that thing. Man, I don't remember now exactly what happened. It happened so fast. But man, I went and I fell forward and this thing coming up smacked me right there. I thought I was going to have to explain to people about my wife smacking me with a frying pan, giving me a black eye. Say, preacher, that machine doesn't do you any good because you don't get on it. Well, I got news for you. The Word of God doesn't do you any good because you don't put it in practice. You hear it, but you don't do it. You hear it, but you ignore it. You hear it, but you refuse the truth. I'm not going to do that. Hey, your response to the Word of God determines if God will give you more of that Word. Preacher, I read my Bible, I just don't get nothing out of it. Hey, can I say this to you? It might be better if you didn't say that. It might be better if you didn't say, preacher, I don't get anything out of your preaching. I've always been amazed. I've had people come out and say, preacher, man, well, when you preach, I get something out of it. I've had another person say, I don't get anything out of it. And I'm trying to figure out what one's hearing and the other one's not, okay? I thought about saying, sit next to brother so-and-so then. He's getting it. You're on the wrong side of the building, all right? You're sitting on the wrong pew. Something's wrong, all right? And let me say this to you. If you will give honor to the Word of God, if you obey what you know, then God's going to give you more illumination. God will help you to see more. He'll help you to understand more. You don't get much from Bible reading and Bible teaching and Bible preaching. There's a reason. But it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. So I want to ask you, what have you done with the light God has given you from His Word? What have you done with it? Have you ignorantly just hid it away? Did you take that light and stick it under a bushel, throw it under the bed? Or have you put it into practice and let God's Word go to work in you? The Bible over in Thessalonians says that book is alive and it effectually worketh in you that believe. If you'll take this book and let it go to work in you and you begin to practice what it says, you begin to live out what God tells you to do, you'll be amazed at how much more understanding you'll have of this whole world. You'll be amazed at the illumination and the enlightenment that you get. But it's dependent upon you and what you do with His book. What you do with it. Now, you can get the best Bible in the world, have the fanciest cover on it you could ever imagine. You stick it on the shelf at your house and it won't change your home one bit. But if you'll get in it and let that book get in you, it'll make all the difference in the world. It can make, hey, it took the maniac of Gadara, it made the wild man mild, okay? It can do that for you. And it will do it for you if you'll let it go to work. Will you? Listen to me. If you'll believe what it says, it'll change your future. Change your destination. See, this book says if you'll trust the Savior, He'll save your soul. It said if you call upon Him, He'll forgive your sin. He'll save your soul. You'll become the child of God. He'll give you a home in heaven. That's available to you. But you got to act on the Word of God. You got to act on the Word of God. It'll change your life. Let me say this to you. You can be the lousiest husband in the world, but if you'll do what this book says, you can be the best. You can be the lousiest wife, the lousiest mother, but if you'll take what this book says and let it go to work and you do what it says, you can be the best. It can make a difference in home, change you forever. But it's up to you. You're going to do what God says. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today. Lord, we come with an open heart. Lord, would you show us what we need to do? Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts this morning.